It's time for Caffeinated Comics, a lively discussion and debate on comics, film, television, and collectibles, all fueled by the magic of Frappuccinos. Caffeinated Comics is sponsored by Chimeras Comics. Chimeras is your one stop for comic books, graphic novels, hero clicks, Magic the Gathering, and more. Explore the fantastic at Chimeras Comics. Now, here's your hosts, John and Steven.
Thank you, it's Caffeinated Comics. I'm your host, John Clark. With me is 93% always is my co-host,
Steven Brown.
This isn't even your fault this time. I feel like we have to open every show with why you don't have 100%. But this is actually not your fault because we have like Skype calls.
Yeah, we're trying
we've
to
had a lot
up.
Of Skype calls lately. So, yeah, thanks to Raquel DePeace, who was on last week. She's fantastic. And read her book, Welcome to the Club. Go buy it on Amazon. Just go do it. But this week, there's a lot of little things to talk about, so it's a news week.
Yeah, this is our catch-up week.
Yeah.
It seems like this week is particularly a lot of news. Some good news, some bad news.
Well, I feel, yes. Well, the first really sad news is, as we're recording this last night, Steve Dillon, the co-creator and artist of Preacher, passed away very suddenly at 54 years old in New York. We still don't have the details of if he was sick or, you know, maybe it was an accident or a heart attack. No one knows. They haven't released any details about it, but it's a real shock. And we've talked about Steve Dillon on the show, and I don't think there was anybody better in comics at doing subtle facial expressions. I think you can point to Kevin Maguire with what he did in Justice League International.
Yeah.
But those were more extreme because they were comical. I mean, you could see in Preacher, you could see someone's face having a conflicting emotion. Which I've never seen in comics before or since. He was an amazing storyteller. Like, you could see somebody pretending to be brave and worrying in the back of their mind. And
yeah.
To this day, I don't know how you draw that.
Yeah, I'm not a huge Steve Dillon fan.
Well, he has a style, and he doesn't deviate from it. If you want to see somebody who has like a different kind of face, he's not the best. He wasn't the best at doing it.
Yeah, and that's basically the point I make. And to his credit, it's not like a super easy thing to draw people to look different. Frank Quietly is a great artist. I consider him one of the top dudes in the business. And he has even said about his own work that when he flips through comics he draws, he says it's like going to a wedding or a funeral. Everyone there kind of looks related to you. And I'm very guilty of this with my own drawing. Everyone kind of looks like me.
And the greats did that. I mean, Romita had a stable of faces that he drew. Kirby had one face that he gave to both men and women.
Right. So I think it's definitely hard to draw multiple faces. This is why in like The Walking Dead, a black and white comic book, everyone's like, this is the guy with the beard. This guy's got a ponytail. This guy always wears a fishing hat.
Yeah,
like,
and that's always a hard thing for me because I buy the hardcover once a year.
Mm-hmm.
And the changes are so subtle because it's Charlie Adlard, great artist, but it's a black and white comic, and there's no recap pages.
Right.
So, like, there's not even... What they should do is the first page of every Walking Dead should be headshots of everybody. Like,
right.
This is Rick. This is Andrea.
They
this is
really
Michonne.
Should. I mean, they do that in some of the fucking, like, X-Men and Avengers books.
Right.
They'll have a headshot of, like, here's the current roster of the team.
And they're like, this is Cyclops, and this is Wolverine. Oh, that one's Wolverine.
Oh, right.
I thought that one was... the guy with the goggles is Cyclops?
All right. Makes sense. I thought he was Angel.
Yeah, Walking Dead is like, the guy with the dirty hat is Dale, and the guy without the dirty hat is Herschel, but in this page, Dale's not wearing a hat.
Right. Yeah.
But yes. True, like a lot of the characters, even in Punisher, looked like a lot of the characters in Preacher.
Yeah. But like you said, he everyone kind of looks alike, but like you said, even Kevin Maguire's facial expressions, it's easy to do. I shouldn't say easy because I don't want to discredit Kevin Maguire. He's a great artist. But I think it's much more difficult to do subtle emotions than to do the comic relief emotions or facial expressions.
And especially in comics, which are so superhero driven,
right,
where everyone's gritted teeth and screaming.
Yeah.
Like, you don't really need to use those skills very often in superhero comics.
Right. And
he was a master at that. And everything
and
I
honestly,
read...
the guy's a great storyteller.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a few guys I consider really, really good storytellers in comics. And Steve Dillon was one of them. Like mm-hmm. I said, he didn't have a lot of bells and whistles. His art wasn't pretty. It wasn't like...
Well, he didn't do a lot of flashy stuff. I mean,
yeah.
The closest he got to mainstream comics was Punisher, and the way Garth Ennis wrote that, it was like a Tarantino film. It was very down and dirty.
Yep.
It was very down to earth. Like, Steve Dillon wasn't the guy you were going to pick to draw the Hulk.
Yeah, he's not going to do the Hulk or the Avengers or your big crossover book. But he's going to do these drama-type books. And I mean, he's one of those dudes where if it's real, that guy could draw it. I don't know many guys that can... There's a lot of guys that can do fantasy stuff. There's a lot of guys that can do the realism. Steve Dillon was just one of those dudes where if there was something set in the real world, this dude could draw it.
And he could draw everything in the real world. I mean,
yep.
Preacher alone goes from like the rural backwaters of New Orleans to New York City in the 90s to like a desert fortress to a small town in Oklahoma. And he covered it all so well. And the most important thing about Steve Dillon, as he said, his subtlety and his realism. There was never a Steve Dillon story I read that I wasn't emotionally pulled into.
Yeah.
As you said, just your storytelling just took you along.
Yep.
And I cared about every single character that he drew because of the way he drew them. And I love Garth Ennis, but Garth Ennis is a pretty rough guy.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he's coarse, and that's his style. And when other artists would draw some of his books, and some of his books are great, books like Hitman.
Yeah.
Great. The Boys. I was never quite as attached. I didn't see those characters as vulnerable. Because Garth Ennis doesn't write vulnerability, but Steve Dillon always drew it.
Yeah.
He made Frank Castle vulnerable.
Yeah, that's one of the things is he's the artist that compliments Garth Ennis, I think, the most. Where they've worked together for so many years. This is like... not only a terrible loss for comics, obviously we won't be seeing any more Steve Dillon work, but any future Garth Ennis project is going to suffer just because we'll all kind of know in the back of our heads, oh, this is something Steve Dillon should have drawn.
Yeah, it's like when Grant Morrison does a book without Frank Quitely.
Right.
There's an extra layer that you know is not there.
Yeah, and it's the dream team. You know, it's like
and
Stanley drawing without Kirby.
Yeah, I mean,
you know?
And you do have great pairings. I mean, Grant's done some great stuff with, say, Chris Burnham, even the stuff he did with the Kuberts at the beginning of the Batman run, or Howard Porter. I mean, he's worked with some great guys, and Garth Ennis has done the same thing.
Yeah, but
like
there's
Garrett Robinson has drawn the
There
boys
are the iconic teams.
Yeah. In a way that, like, nobody would say Stan Lee with Steve Ditko was not great comics, but
right.
Lee and Kirby is what you
That's
talk
where
about.
The magic was.
So it's really sad. And it came on the heels. We talk a lot about comedy on this podcast. I think it's the one area that we push out of geek on this podcast. It helps that we have the word comic. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Right in our pocket. But Kevin Meaney passed away Friday night. And if you don't know who Kevin Meaney was, he was a comic. He was one of those guys in the big boom of the 80s. He was a stand-up that you saw constantly, and he did The Tonight Show 12 times. He had an HBO special, but he never really crossed out of stand-up circles. He did one show of Uncle Buck. They made a version of Uncle Buck for television, and he played the John Candy role, and it didn't last. But he was so big and bombastic and friendly and warm, and he was one of those first guys that would do impressions of his mother. And he would constantly do impressions of his mother, like criticizing his own act as it was going on, much in the way Gaffigan would do later.
Yeah.
Like, he would just be like, what are you doing? That's not right. He would have a bit where he'd pull the microphone out and hit himself in the eye. You're like, oh, my eye. Why are you doing that? Hitting yourself in the eye. You're going to put your eye out. One of your comedian friends is going to put a needle in that microphone. What are you doing to your father and I walking around with one eye? He was really big.
Yeah.
He was really big. And he would just break in a song. And then about 10 years ago, he came out as gay and no one was surprised.
Right.
But he was one of those guys who was a fixture of that 80s comedy boom. So if you watch cable, he would pop up on stuff. And when he passed away, which was also very suddenly, he was 60. We still don't know the details about Kevin Meaney. He's in Big. He has one line in Big. He's like, so the building turns into a robot. That's his one line in Big when Tom Hanks is pitching the Transformer idea. So he was one of those kind of comics who was just around. And he did clubs until, you know, honestly, he was booked Saturday night. Like, passed away Friday and he was booked Saturday night. He worked
still working
constantly. But he was such an influence. And, you know, we've had a lot of comedians on the show, which we always love. You know, we had a comedian last week on the show. So my social network is full of stand-ups. and everybody had a really kind, warm story about Kevin Meaney.
Yeah.
Because he was a guy that was always in the clubs.
Everyone knew him.
People on every level knew him.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't matter if you'd been doing comedy for 25, 30 years. I read notices from Dana Gould and Norm Macdonald this weekend. But yeah. Then, like, Mike Lawrence had great things to say about him. You know, Ted Alexandro had great things to say to him. Guys that have been on the podcast.
Yeah, it always seems, it's such an interesting, that's why I never mind hearing or talking about the comedy stuff, just because it's, I like interesting things
You are a fan of comedy.
Yeah, but I mean, as like an outsider, it's nice to see all the different levels of like comedy, but it's still a very tightly knit group. Do you know what I mean? It's
right.
Like,
well, it's kind of like being in the military of, you know, no matter what level you're on, people know you're fighting the good fight.
Yeah.
And it'd always be,
it's like, there's such a camaraderie.
Right.
I love it.
There was, you know, when I was doing it, there was like an acceptance. I remember we went to the Comedy Cellar one night, and Jessica Kirsten, who's a great comic, and she's like a road club comic. She's been on the Jim Gaffigan show, but not big, but she would do our show and she'd be hilarious. And one night we came in and we're watching a show, and it was one of the greatest shows I've ever seen in my life. Dave Chappelle showed up. Jim Norton was there. Jim Florentine was there. But Jessica saw us sitting at a table, and there were five of us that would do this show. Mike Drucker was there. Some of our other friends that haven't done the show. And she's like, you guys are all comics, right? Don't you work uptown? We were like, yeah. Then she pulled the waiter's side. She's like, everything's comp. They're comics.
Oh,
and
wow.
And we didn't pay that night.
That's awesome.
And it was that feeling. And I've run into guys. Excuse me. You know, I've run into guys now. You know, I've been out of stand-up for about 6 years. This is as close as I come to doing stand-up. When I do shows, whether it's with my cover band or I'm dressed as Bono, I really can't help but tell jokes. Which in the YouTube band, I'm like, I probably shouldn't. I probably should say more sincere things about the state of the world and helping people if I'm supposed to be Bono.
Right, yeah.
But instead, I'm always like, look at that guy.
What's the deal with cell phones?
Yeah.
You know?
But I don't consider myself a comedian. I consider myself, I used to do comedy. But I'll talk to people that I used to do it with, and it feels like meeting somebody you went to war with.
Yeah.
You know, like you tell all the battle stories and you know what you lived through. It's a really hard life. It's a hard thing to do, which is one of the reasons I stopped doing it was I had kids.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like to be able to do it and then have kids and a family, and then you move into Chicago over where New York, it's obviously much bigger. It's wild.
But if you're doing it and you run into somebody that does it, there's an acknowledgement. And from what I read, everybody that Kevin Meaney ran into, he treated as an equal and he treated with respect.
Yeah.
And it's great. And there's only a couple of clips of him on YouTube, and there's a really, really great one in the 80s of him on The Tonight Show, and he actually does his mother going, "Why are you making noises on The Johnny Carson Show?" So that'll tell you exactly when it was. But he was really, really, really great, and he was definitely a great stand-up comic. So those are two people we lost just this weekend. And moving from that, let's talk about other more fun things.
Yeah.
There's still a lot to talk about this week. We got three trailers. Big, big trailers this week.
What was the third?
We got a new Rogue One.
Oh, okay. That's the one I don't want
to
see.
Yeah, you said you refused to see it.
And here, yeah. All right. So about trailers specifically, you only need one trailer. You know, you need a teaser, sure. And then you need the full trailer.
That's two trailers, Steven.
Well, the teaser, I don't really count, right? So we already saw a Rogue One trailer like a year ago, and it looked awesome. And it's just like, okay, I'm gonna go see this movie. I don't want to see any other trailers showing more footage. Everyone at the store is like, yeah, did you see the new Rogue One trailer? It's like, no, motherfucker, because I want to see the movie. I don't want to watch the movie sparsed out over 6 months in 2 minute increments. Right. You know, it's like, I'm good. I've seen the trailer, the teaser. I'm ready to go. Like, let's do it. I don't need another trailer showing fucking Darth Vader. Right. I know he's going to be in it. Don't spoil what he's going to be doing in it.
I will say, I did watch the Rogue One trailer. It's a lot like the first trailer where it's such glimpses all over the place. I have no idea what the story's about. I know what the general premise is.
Yeah.
Because they mentioned it before they shot it of like, these are the rebels that get the plans of the Death Star before it's made. And somehow they will get it to Princess Leia.
That's awesome.
That's what this story's about. And it's set, which sounds crazy, but it's set in the late 70s because it's using the style of A New Hope.
Oh, yeah.
So it's
I was like, do they go to Earth?
Yes, it's like Star Trek 4.
Right. Save the whales.
But everything looks like, it doesn't just look like the original trilogy. It looks like that first film. I mean, even the hairstyles.
Yeah.
But we're getting such quick glimpses of it. Like, I don't know who any of these characters are. I don't know why they're in the locations they're in. We see Darth Vader for like a half a second, and I don't know how big a role he has to play.
Yeah.
So they're doing a good job, and it got me more excited for the movie.
Yeah. That's this December?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So the plan is to always have a Star Wars movie like December 15th now.
Every year.
Yeah, because next year we're going to get Episode 8. And then the year after that, I think, is when we get the young Han Solo, which, as a side note, they just announced Donald Glover from Community.
Yeah.
And who was the inspiration for Miles Morales.
Yeah.
Is going to be Lando Calrissian in the young Han Solo movie.
And can I just say that that is the most magical bit of casting?
I love it.
I think it's great. And I don't know who they cast as young Han Solo. Or if they've even
done that
yet.
They haven't announced. I saw an article of like, here are the four guys we're thinking of.
They're still looking at guys?
And yeah, and none of them I had recognized from anything, but they all looked right.
Yeah, and it's the thing is like, Han Solo is going to be tricky because obviously me and Elliot almost stopped talking over recasting Indiana Jones. So I don't know what his feelings are on Han Solo.
But they already did recast Indiana Jones as River Phoenix.
Well, yeah, but that was that's a little kid playing him. Do you know what I mean?
No, he was like 16, 17.
No,
when he
did
that.
I know, but I'm saying like you want to cast a kid to play teenage version of Indiana Jones while Indiana Jones is in his 40s. Sure. I'm saying cast a guy to replace Indiana Jones.
The young Indiana Jones movie is kind of like River Phoenix in Last Crusade for me, where because he's gonna be like around that age.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with it. And if it, like I said, Rogue One, actually the trailer for Rogue One was so strong that Joss Whedon came out and said, you know what? I think I want to do a Star Wars movie.
Did he really?
He did. After Age of Ultron, he was like, you know what? I'm kind of done doing other people's stuff. He's like, he wanted to make more movies like Cabin in the Woods.
Right.
There's been a lot of talk about doing a sequel to Dr. Horrible, like going back to his own properties.
Yeah.
And then he said he saw this trailer for Rogue One and he'd be like, man, it'd be really cool to make a Star Wars movie.
And I'm sure Disney's going to be like, oh, guy who made us $1 billion on two Avengers movies. Yep. Sure, you can have episode 9 or whatever it is.
Well, he said he doesn't want to do an episode. What he wants to do is a movie like Rogue One. He's like, I love the idea of having my pocket of the universe to play in.
Oh, that's even better.
He doesn't want to carry the main story the way he did in Avengers.
Yeah.
Like, looking back, maybe Joss would have been really happy doing Ant-Man.
Right. That's cool.
So that's how excited people are about this. And I'm at the point with Rogue One where I was last year with Force Awakens. I have a little more confidence because Force Awakens was good.
Yeah.
And, you know, coming to Force Awakens, I was coming off Revenge of the Sith. And I was like, eh. And honestly, none of the television properties had grabbed me. Like, I didn't care about Clone Wars. I didn't care about Rebels. I hear great things about Rebels, but I can't get my kids into it, so I'm not watching it.
Yeah. Yeah, you have enough shit to watch.
Yeah, yeah. Trying to figure out what to binge watch next.
I'm actually pretty excited. Star Wars is like one of those things, like I said, obviously I watched the Star Wars movies when I was a kid, but even when like the prequels came out, I was... I mean, Phantom Menace came out. I think I really liked Darth Maul. I really liked that the lightsaber fights were really cool. But then, like, Jar Jar Binks and all this other dumb shit, and that kid's terrible.
10 minutes of pod racing.
Yeah, this kind of shit. So I haven't really ever been excited for Star Wars, really. The Force Awakens, I really like that. We did a whole podcast just on that one trailer.
Yeah, and then we did another one on the movie itself.
Right, and that obviously, you know, we like those. So I'm pretty excited. The one trailer I did watch for it, where I was like, all right, I'm good. I'm sold. They're going to get my money. That's if I'm already at the point after the first trailer, you don't have to do any more convincing for me.
Yeah,
you know?
I'm not at the point of, as someone like Elliot, who is, or people that are so excited, the figures are out now. And there's people grabbing them up, and I'm like, I don't know who these people are. I can't even tell you anybody's name in it. I'm like, well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm barely figuring out who these people's names were in Force Awakens.
Yeah, I know.
Kylo Ren, Rey, Finn, Poe Dameron. That's it. And it took me like a year to get those
names.
That's
it. Because other than that, it's also Han Solo.
Right. It's guys we already know.
Princess Leia. But yeah, I know, all I know about it is that like Forrest Whitaker's in it, and then he,
Forrest Whitaker's, he's the guy that won the Oscar for playing like a African general a couple years ago, right?
Yes.
He's got like a funny eye.
Yeah, he's good. He goes back to Good Morning Vietnam. That was the first thing I ever saw him in. He was like the young officer that was helping Robin Williams and thought he was funny.
I think the only thing I remember him in is, do you see Panic Room with Jodie Foster?
Yeah.
He's in that.
Is he like, one of the guys who's like trying to break in?
He's like the nice guy who's breaking in.
Okay.
He's like a good guy, but he's down on his luck.
Did you ever see Ghost Dog?
No.
Oh, it's a weird samurai movie with him. It's like a samurai movie in the projects. And it's like a revenge movie. It's kind of like John Wick. It's in the 90s, and Jim Jarmusch made it.
Wait, he's a samurai in the projects?
Yeah.
But with like a sword and a samurai hat?
Yes, it's called Ghost Dog. And he, and it's a weird movie because Jim Jarmusch, if you've seen any Jim Jarmusch movies, they're like quiet little black and white indie movies. You know, a lot of people talking in a cafe for 10 minutes, like that kind of movie.
Yeah.
So it's got this real quiet black and white feeling about it. And he just like kind of walks up to people and then cuts their heads off.
Huh. Is it good?
It is good.
Sounds awesome.
It's not one of my favorite movies, and I've probably only seen it once, but it's good. It's worth seeing.
Well, I'll try to remember to
check
that
out. But he's somebody that's really good. And yeah, and the girl in it I know was supposed to play, she was supposed to be a Black Cat in the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man until that was canceled. And then the guy, it looks like the main Empire guy, just looking at the trailer, looks like the guy that Bane kills in Dark Knight Rises. Your plan didn't work, my friend.
Oh, that guy. That little worm.
Do you feel in control? Yeah, I think it's him.
The best part of that was he's like saying all this shit. And then Bane just like doesn't like put his hand on his shoulder, like grabbing his hand. He just drops his hand, like
on
right next,
cheek.
Right next to his face.
Yeah, that guy's dead. Right?
Yeah,
yeah, and it's Roland Daggett in that, which was the guy in the animated series that made Clayface.
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay,
but I know the actors that are in it, but I don't know any of their names, and I have no desire to buy any of the product because I haven't seen the movie yet.
I'm trying to think what else that guy was in.
That's the only thing I can think of.
Oh, there's like a movie on the tip of my tongue. I think I'm getting him confused with another guy, but the same type of like hugely douchey guy. He's got one of them faces, you know?
Yeah, no, he's got resting douche face.
Mm-hmm.
But it does, like, I'm really looking forward to seeing this movie, which also is a great segue to...
Real quick, is that the same guy that played the leader in the Hulk movie?
No. No, the guy that played the leader in the Hulk movie is in O Brother, Where Art Thou?
Was he one of the chain?
He was one of the three guys, yeah.
Oh, okay.
He's the guy who's not John Turturro or George Clooney.
Yeah, I knew he wasn't George Clooney.
That's who that is. I'm blanking on his name, but that's definitely who's the leader in the Ed Norton Hulk movie. But he does have a similar face. But seeing that, I'm like, we're eating on the podcast, which is probably...
Yeah, don't worry about us eating, okay? Everyone's got to eat.
Well, I have friends that can't listen to anyone eat. So I'm wondering how many people are pressing stop right now. I have a friend who could not watch The Martian because she said Matt Damon ate too much. Because I haven't seen
That's
The
weird.
Martian, but it's like so quiet
that
it's just kind of like him living. So like every now and then he's eating and there's no other sound and it freaked her out.
That's
so
weird.
I apologize to anybody that feels like
No. If you can't listen to other people eat, you're a weirdo. Get over yourself.
I can imagine it's gross.
I'm not saying you want to sit and watch somebody eat, but people eat. It's a thing we do.
Or smell somebody eat.
Right?
Yeah. If somebody gets something that I don't like to eat, I don't want to smell.
Nothing wrong with that. That's fine.
When they make
eggs. Don't stop listening to our podcast because we're chewing.
When my wife makes eggs for breakfast, I have to come into the podcast studio and close the door.
Oh, wow.
Can't stand eggs.
You don't eat eggs?
No, they smell like farts.
I love eggs. Ugh. I had eggs for breakfast.
Don't like them.
It stinks, but I don't like them.
It's Jim Norton and Spider-Man.
Yeah.
No, I eat a lot of granola in the morning. Granola and yogurt, and then I get out of the house. I also don't like milk and cereal. I have a lot of weird things about breakfast.
You got a lot of issues.
I feel like we're losing listeners right there, because anytime I tell people I don't like milk and cereal, they just kind of look at me like I've stabbed their pet bird.
Right.
Was making their eggs for breakfast.
Right.
But Rogue One has made me excited to see it, and which also reminds me of the next film coming up, which is, I keep forgetting, is in like 2 weeks, Doctor Strange is coming out.
Yeah, same thing with Doctor Strange. So the billboards are all over Chicago now, which is awesome. And I saw he was on like Jimmy Kimmel or one of those stupid late night guys he was on. I didn't watch it because I don't want to see anything with this. And I already, same thing. I saw the first trailer. I'm good to go. It's a Marvel movie, so I'm going to see any movie they make. And yeah, that's what do we got? New.
We don't have any new footage, which is great because I agree with you. The movie's going to come out in a couple weeks. Let's just go see the movie. But the early reviews are in, so some of the reviewers have gone to see it, and they're saying it's great.
Awesome.
So, like, more than like Ant-Man, you know? Like, at this point, there's two kinds of Marvel films. There are the continuation of the Avengers.
Right.
Like Civil War, where it's like, all right, we all got to go see this, or Thor Ragnarok is coming.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're like, okay, that's the next big chapter, but then there's these side chapters, like Ant-Man, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Where they're like introducing new guys.
They're introducing new guys, and they're introducing new guys into an established universe.
How do you think this one will hit as far as like, you know, I always feel like Iron Man, Captain America seem to be like the big two properties they have aside from Avengers.
I mean, money-wise, it's Avengers and then it's Iron Man.
Yeah,
I mean, no one is as... Robert Downey Jr. was on the level of Chris Evans and Chris Hemsworth in terms of fame before Iron Man. Now he is like way ahead of everybody.
Yeah.
So if they make an Iron Man 4,
it'll be
bigger than Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, for sure.
So it's like Avengers because it has Iron Man in it. Then it's Iron Man.
Then
Cap.
Probably because like Winter Soldier.
Although Guardians
and Civil
of the Galaxy
War.
Made so much money that Guardians of the Galaxy is way up there. And people are going to go see, and there's a teaser trailer for that out, which I will get to in a minute.
For Doctor Strange, though, do you think that's going to be on the level of like Ant-Man? Because I think it's going to be a lot bigger than Ant-Man.
I think it's going to be bigger, too. Because
I think Benedict, you know, Paul Rudd's great, but Benedict Cumberbatch, I think, is such a bigger, more iconic guy. Do you know what I mean? Just him on his own.
And we've talked about this. He's been kind of waiting for his big breakthrough in America. Like, Sherlock made him gigantic in England, and then he's done stuff in this country. Like, he was in Star Trek Into Darkness, which was not a great movie.
Right.
And didn't really help him out. He was in that Imitation Game
is good.
Yeah, I keep thinking it was Intimidation Game. Imitation Game, which was like the Oscar bait, but it didn't do that much. So he's been in these things which have been poised to push him.
Right. Like a good example, my barometer for this kind of stuff is my parents, just because they're old. So in the sense of like, if they know who an actor is, they're big. So, like, my mom knows who Robert Downey Jr. is, but she knows who Robert Downey Jr. is because of Iron Man and the Avengers. And he's a good-looking guy, so she wants to see all his movies.
Does she know who Chris Hemsworth is?
No.
Okay.
So, and same thing, she knows who Chris Evans is, though.
Huh.
But she doesn't know who Chris Hemsworth is. And she doesn't know who Chris Pratt is. But she doesn't know who Benedict Cumberbatch is. So he hasn't, like, broken through to, like, quote-unquote mainstream.
Well, he's not a household name.
Right, right.
At least in your household.
In my mom's household, yeah. So that's kind of the thing. As soon as, I guess, she knows who he is, it's like, okay, that guy's made it now.
It also seems like perfect casting, you know?
He's
the guy you'd want to do this in this day and age. You always talk about if they had done it in the 60s, Vincent Price would have been great.
Right.
And that's true. But Vincent Price died in the 90s.
Right.
You know, I always said Brian Dennehy would make a great Cable.
Who's Brian Dennehy?
Brian Dennehy is, he's in Ratatouille. He's like the other rat in Ratatouille. Plays a lot of dads. He's the guy in First Blood that like pushes Rambo to kill everybody.
Okay.
He's like this burly guy. But you know what? That was also 20 years ago.
You know who I want to be Cable, other than not make a Cable movie, is the guy from Avatar.
Well, he wants to be, Scott Lang.
Yeah, he looks just like him.
Well, that's another big piece of news. God, we weren't even going to talk about this, but yesterday, Tim Miller quit Deadpool 2.
Who? The director?
The director quit Deadpool 2, and the rumor is that he and Ryan Reynolds couldn't agree on who should be Cable.
And wow.
Tim Miller wanted Kyle Chandler, the guy from Friday Night Lights, to be Cable.
Who was he?
The main guy of Friday Night Lights.
The coach?
Yeah.
No.
That's what Ryan Reynolds said.
I guilty pleasure. I love Friday Night Lights. That guy isn't Cable.
No,
I'm sorry.
No, you need somebody big and grizzled. Scott Lang is a pretty good
That's what pick. I'm saying. Scott Lang is like, he looks like Cable.
Yeah, I'd like somebody like really broad-shouldered.
Yeah, I think that one dude from Avatar is kind of small.
Yeah, Scott Lang is like ripped.
He's jacked, but I think he's not bulky.
Yeah.
I think he's like a littler guy. I think he's like
my height. You always see Cable with like big shoulder pads and decked out. You could build up a guy. But you want somebody at least in his 50s and, you know, with scars.
Right.
You know, you want like a Lance Henriksen type, but big.
Yeah.
You know, you want somebody with like a gravelly voice and a, and I don't have the perfect pick. Like I said, 20 years ago, I said it should have been Brian Dennehy. That was also the time that I said Anthony Hopkins should have played Ra's al Ghul. And, yeah. Back in the Tim Burton era, that would have been good.
Now, that would have been great. No. Now he's too old, yeah.
Well, also I think he's been coasting on chewing the scenery for a while.
Anthony Hopkins?
Yeah, I can't think of the last great performance he did. Like, you know, as Odin, where he's just like, and you're not king! Yeah. He's just big and...
How many should die? As many as are needed!
Yeah, and
I love Anthony Hopkins.
Are you watching Westworld?
No, I heard it's great. Everyone's talking about it. It's like the hot new show.
Yeah, it's the new Stranger Things, and people at work were talking about it, and I was like, all right. I liked the old 70s movie, which is a perfect old 70s movie.
Right?
Yeah, it was a book by Michael Crichton, who also wrote Jurassic Park.
Okay.
But they made a film of his book back in the 70s, and it's very, very, very 70s. And it's, you know, it's just the basic plot of, you know, the Western's all people with robots, and then the robots turn on us and try to kill us. And Yul Brynner plays one of the robots.
And doesn't Cyclops, isn't he the main guy?
He's one of the main guys. In this version, it's a lot more Blade Runner.
Okay.
Where it's a lot more subtle, where it's like, we're three episodes in, and it's this feeling of, it seems like the robots are gaining sentience. Because what happens is they're programmed like video games in Westworld of like, this robot is this character. And they have a story that plays out for a few days, and then... you pay to go to the park, and then you're a part of that story. It's very much like a video game.
Yeah.
Then the story ends, they reboot the robot, they wipe its memory, they set it back to one, and it plays the same story.
Okay, for like a different group of people.
Yeah, exactly. For a different player.
Yeah, that's cool.
So in the show, the premise is that like the robots are starting to remember what happened before.
Oh.
So like when the robots are going into a scene where they're supposed to get killed, like they're starting to think about making different choices.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to get killed again. Or they're starting to think about getting revenge on the guy that killed them last time.
Okay.
So, and that's not in the original at all. But it's very much Blade Runner, like who's alive, who's real, who's a robot.
Yeah, you know, that's cool.
And so it's interesting. But Anthony Hopkins is in it as like the main architect. And man, this guy just like, it's like Al Pacino in the 90s, man.
Yeah.
He just comes in, he's like, the robots have their own lives. He comes in, he gives like some monologue that no one is allowed to respond to.
Yeah.
And then he just walks out.
How old is Anthony Hopkins? He's up there.
He's 70s at least. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but so I don't know who should be. I don't know who should be Cable now, but apparently it was a big enough argument that the director quit. Although the one good thing in this was Tim Miller. This was his first live action a directorial feature.
Deadpool?
He was an animator. Yeah, he was an animator before.
Okay.
The thing he was attached to for years was The Goon. And
oh, yeah, yeah.
When Deadpool hit, they've been trying to raise money for The Goon in the same way they've been trying to raise money for Hellboy 3.
Right.
Like, they know there's an audience for it, but no studio really wants to pay for it. But Frank Darabont, is it Frank Darabont or is it Lawrence Kasdan? No, I think it's Frank Darabont, has been trying to make an animated version of The Goon for years. And Tim Miller was animating it. And
yeah,
there was
we
a lot
saw
of
the test footage for it.
Yeah, there was a lot of talk once Deadpool was a hit. They were like, well, now this guy's got leverage.
Right.
Like, maybe he can make The Goon happen. And then the reports were like, yeah, but, you know, he's going to have to finish Deadpool 2 first at least.
But now that he's off it, that's...
maybe The Goon will happen faster.
Yeah.
So that
yeah,
might be a good
is
thing.
Is it weird how much, say... Ryan Reynolds has and who plays Cable that the director walks away? Is that unusual?
Yeah. But, you know, considering how long Ryan Reynolds spent with the project.
Yeah, it's kind of like his pet project.
He's basically the producer on it.
Yeah. Hmm.
I mean, you think about Robert Downey Jr. You know, how much say he has. The reason Shane Black wrote and directed Iron Man 3 after Jon Favreau left was because they made Kiss Kiss Bang Bang together and Robert Downey Jr. liked him.
Yeah.
That's the only reason. And the results are whatever you think they are.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a great movie. I think it's the worst of the three. And I know we disagree about number two, but I'm sorry. Deadpool or Iron Man 3 was like, there's some cool stuff in it. What's his name's great as the Mandarin, despite what lunatics online say?
I think Iron Man 2 is more of a mess because Iron Man 2 is trying to go in every direction at once. Iron Man 2 doesn't have a main villain. It has like a thug and a comic relief, but there's no mastermind. Like, who was in charge? Was it Mickey Rourke? Was it Sam Rockwell?
I kind of like that they're both idiots.
I mean, there's just scenes all over the place. There's like, you know, there's a whole subplot of Iron Man getting sick, and Nick Fury's like, "I'll just give you a shot in your neck," and it's gone in the middle of the movie.
No, he invents that thing.
Yeah, just in the middle of the movie. It has nothing to do with the main plot.
I think they were trying to do like Demon in the Bottle.
They were. Yeah, that's as close as they're going to get. But they were trying to do too much stuff at once because Marvel got really excited about building the universe, and they threw Scarlet Witch in there for not really a real reason.
Scarlet Johansson. They throw.
I've been doing that.
I do it all the time.
We were going through the Avengers figures. I kept looking at Black Widow and seeing Scarlet Witch. And I don't even think it's Scarlett Johansson. I think it's because Scarlet Witch is the most prominent female member of the Avengers from the comics, yeah. And Black Widow is the most prominent female member in the movies. And I just keep going, she's an Avenger, she's a girl, she's Scarlet Witch.
That's sexist, John.
I've been doing it all day.
Well,
blame Don Heck for drawing them both the same.
Yeah, fuck Don Heck.
But, yeah, Iron Man 3.
You know what?
Iron Man 3 goes to a place you didn't really want it to go. But it's a consistent story. Like, He tells that story from beginning to end. He tells a weird story that you're not expecting at all. But yeah. He tells that story. Iron Man 2 is trying to do so much stuff, and
you
then
know
it
they
just
could
end.
Do?
It's like Spider-Man 3.
They should do Demon in a Bottle. Fucking go for it. Have Captain America, or after Thanos, somebody gets killed, and have fucking Robert Downey Jr. just spiral out. And do Demon in a Bottle, make Rhodey take over. That'd be an awesome movie.
Yeah.
Don't pull your punches. Don't redeem him. Make him an alcoholic. Do the whole thing. Make him drunk in the armor. Do the whole bit. And then have him, like, at the end, he's homeless and fucking Don Cheadle's got to take over as Iron Man. And then do a redemption movie.
That'd be interesting.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. At this point, Marvel's so big that, like, I feel like they get hammered for, like, making a message film and being depressing. I feel like they might take a hit doing that. It's a great story.
But you know what I'm saying? They've had 13 or 14 or whatever up to successes. Mm. Fucking go for it.
Yeah,
because if they don't try to do something other than replicate the same type of movie over and over and over and over again, they're going to burn people out.
But also nobody's accusing them of doing that. What they do is they pick a different character and they do a different type of movie, like Ant-Man, like Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, totally.
Like Doctor Strange.
I agree. But I'm saying I think they play it very safe.
Yeah.
Do you know? And it's like... I'd like to see him kind of go for it, you know, try and do something that's a little bit more, you know, it's like they kill a guy and no one ever stays dead. Every character's come back from the dead.
Well, in the comics, but nobody's come back from the dead in the movies.
Phil Coulson.
All right, but he came back on television.
But then,
you know, Jeff Bridges hasn't come back.
No, but I'm talking like the main characters. Like they're like, oh, we killed Iron Man in Avengers. Oh no, he made it. He's still alive. Oh, we killed this guy in this movie. It's like, No one ever stays dead. It's like, oh, Loki's almost died fucking three times.
Yeah, but those are almost. The only one who's really died has been Coulson. And they have said that they are not bringing him back in the movies.
They don't want to confuse people that
they
haven't
don't want to confuse people that aren't watching Age of S.H.I.E.L.D. And let's be honest, there's not that many people watching it.
I have my roommate. She loves it.
I watch it begrudgingly. There's so many superhero shows and I don't love any of them. And it's like I watch, you know, there's two I watch every week because I'm attached to the properties that they are attached to, but not because of the shows themselves. And then there's a couple that I'll come in and binge watch because I like the character. I mean, well, there's Netflix. The Netflix shows are great.
Yeah.
But
I was going to say, yeah, I was like, what about Daredevil?
Yeah, but
Jessica Jones.
But the network shows.
I still haven't
I haven't really loved a network superhero show since Constantine.
Yeah, I could.
And there's a Blu-ray
anyway.
Of that out now, and I'm like, well, why would I buy that? It's 13 episodes, so it didn't get a chance to go anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, so Deadpool is kind of up in the air. Doctor Strange, as you said, everybody's saying looks great. I think it will be great. We'll have plenty to talk about that in a couple weeks.
I can't wait.
Deadpool is now kind of up in the air because now they have to find another director, which is never that good a thing. I mean, that's what happened to Ant-Man. Edgar Wright was supposed to make... Edgar Wright
I just think
was
like,
working on Ant-Man before Jon Favreau was working on Iron Man 1.
But don't you think with Deadpool specifically, the movie's already... There's already been one made. Everyone's going to be clamoring to direct the next Deadpool. Don't you think that'd be like a super hot gig? Everyone would be lining up for it.
Yeah, but I feel like it's one of those movies that it's just not going to be as good with somebody else stepping into it. Most movies... When they changed directors for the second one's kind of...
Yeah.
I mean, there was a second Alice in Wonderland that Tim Burton did not direct, and it came and went, and it's on Blu-ray now.
Yeah.
You know, and Alice in Wonderland, not a great movie, not even my favorite Tim Burton movie, but that was a gigantic hit, that first one.
Was it?
Yeah, it was like the biggest hit he made maybe since Batman.
Jesus.
Like, it was huge. And that, and you know, Disney immediately made that Snow White movie with like Thor.
Yeah, Disney's trying to do like a shared universe type thing. So, yeah. Like, when they do their opening for the movie and they show the castle and then, like, the star goes over it or whatever, then they'll turn, like, left or they'll turn right and then they go into, like, a jungle if they're doing Jungle Book, or they'll go, like, into a forest if they're doing Snow White. They're trying to set up, like, it's a shared universe. Because I think they're trying to do, like, what Marvel's doing, because obviously it's the same company.
Yeah.
They've mentioned it, that it's all...
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Are they all happening at the same time? Because there's different eras in those...
They'll do the castles, right? Yeah, so they'll show the castle, the Disney... castle, and then they'll turn like clockwise, and then you'll see like the castle from like where Maleficent lives.
Oh, supposed
to be in the same universe.
Well, the last 10 years they've turned Disney princesses into its own brand,
right?
First of all, because they figured out how to market it to girls, but then they also realized that they put them in this kind of Justice League. I mean, they haven't done it story wise, but just marketing wise, they put them all together in one poster.
Yeah.
That people are starting to think of them as all kind of
like a team,
like,
or they
like
live...
Pocahontas and Sleeping Beauty and Cinderella, right, and Snow White are all kind of the same.
Yeah. And I think it's a smart move. But yeah, so continuity, man.
That well, Marvel's taught everybody where to go with it. I mean, Star Wars is successful doing it, and DC's stumbling to get it together.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what they think everybody wants right now.
Well, you figure, just aside from talking about Doctor Strange when it comes out, all the big trailers you figure for the next year will be attached to Doctor Strange or Star Wars, especially, I think.
Right.
Because those will be the last two big movies of the year. So we'll probably get another Justice League trailer. We'll get another Wonder Woman trailer. It's like, we're going to get a lot of good trailers.
Well, that's a perfect segue, because we haven't talked about the Logan trailer, which is Marvel, but not Marvel, as you know.
Yeah.
The X-Men are its own separate universe, which I can live with, because that's kind of how they are anyway. But that's coming on the heels of... That's coming right at the moment when Doctor Strange is about to come out, when we have a Guardians of the Galaxy teaser, when we have a new Star Wars trailer. You know, they're positioning themselves to be the next thing. And honestly, we posted it on our Facebook page, and I've watched both the Green Band and the Red Band trailer. The Red Band trailer has one extra shot that's really violent, but it's like 1 second, but they're basically the same trailer.
Right.
I think it looks amazing.
Yeah, X-Men movies are always weird.
Every other one is good.
Yeah, the trailers usually look pretty good, though.
But... You know what? I wasn't excited about the Apocalypse trailer, and then I wasn't excited about the movie.
Yeah.
And Days of Future Past got me interested, and it was interesting. You and I disagree on the Wolverine. I like it. I put it in the middle, but every other one has been great. I mean, X-Men 1 is really good. X-Men 2 is great. X-Men 3 is horrible. Wolverine Origins is the worst.
First Class I really liked.
First Class is good. I kind of... have points against it because it doesn't really have any characters I care about, but that's not here and there. It's a well-made movie. First Class is good. The Wolverine is pretty good. Days of Future Past is really good. Apocalypse wasn't good.
I liked Apocalypse more than Days of Future Past.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it was so boring. I mean, it just takes forever to happen, and for anything to happen. And then when it does, it's just a cyclone you can't follow. But Deadpool was amazing. So it's like, I think they have a 50-50 ratio, and it's like, Logan, this trailer is great.
Yeah, the trailer looks good. I guess it's supposed to be based off Old Man Logan as much as it could be.
Well, as much as anything, I think that's something we keep coming back to, is Marvel. And you know what? Honestly, DC, if you go back to the Nolan movies, which were the last DC movies that worked, they take hints and cues from the comics, but they don't adapt any stories.
And they don't need to. That's, I think, an important thing. I think with the Marvel movies, it seems like they still feel like the comics to me, to where the Marvel movies, even though, you know, the Avengers don't live in a mansion, they live in a complex, and they're kind of like working with S.H.I.E.L.D. all the time.
So you include the X-Men movies with Marvel Studios as just everything that comes out of Marvel Comics?
No. I'd say the Marvel movies specifically that are done by Marvel Studios feel very much like in the spirit of the comics. The X-Men movies are kind of their own continuity, right? Like, yeah. They don't really have...
And it's a confusing continuity because they've jumped back and forth,
they've
recast
time travels.
Yeah.
Yeah, the recasting, I never really begrudge anybody for recasting because it's kind of like an acceptable risk, right? It doesn't bother me that we've had two different Hulks in the same universe, right?
Two different roadies.
Right. Yeah, it's
but we also have two concurrent Magnetos and Professor X's.
Right, and that's the stuff I think that gets confusing.
Patrick Stewart is in Logan, so he's back again.
Right.
Like, when James McAvoy took over Xavier, we were like, okay, that's what it's going to be. And then Days of Future Past was both together because there were two timelines, and we were like, okay, that's the send-off for them. But now here's Patrick Stewart again.
Because I think they're doing like an old...
Because we're so far in the future. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. I think there's two different timelines. So when they're making a movie in the past, they use the younger characters. But Old Man Logan or whatever they're calling it, is clearly the end of Wolverine's life.
Right, and Hugh Jackman says he wants this to be his last.
Right, and it's fitting. You know, I feel like I'm a little tired of Hugh Jackman as Wolverine. Not that he ever does a bad performance. He's really good as the character.
He's like a James Bond that's made too many movies where you're like, he knows his character, and now we know the way he knows his character. Okay, that's Wolverine. Like, he shows up in Apocalypse. He's the best thing that happens in Apocalypse. But it's like, it's
does
a celebrity cameo.
Apocalypse?
Yeah, well, they unleash Weapon X.
Oh, yeah, that's
he's
right.
He's in it for like 5 minutes.
Right.
But he's Wolverine, and I agree with that. That being said, I don't really want Hugh Jackman to retire as Wolverine because I don't want to see another Wolverine. Like, who's the next guy who's going to be Wolverine? I don't care. Like, I still like him in that role, and Wolverine is way too popular to retire.
Yeah, and I think that's my issue with it.
And we've done it to Professor X. We've done it to Magneto.
We've
done it to Mystique.
I don't mind if this is his last Wolverine movie. Obviously, somebody else is going to play Wolverine eventually. I don't mind that. What I mind is that I don't feel like I ever need to see another standalone Wolverine movie. You know,
it's well, this will end a trilogy.
Yeah, this will end his trilogy. But I'm saying they'll recast him, and it'll be, you know, whoever is the new Wolverine, and then that person will just be making X-Men and Wolverine movies, and I don't need any more Wolverine movies. I don't think he's interesting enough on his own to be his own character.
Yeah, I think we've done everything.
We've done it.
Well, we've done everything because we did these three, again, going back to our point where they take hints, but they don't quite adapt. The first Wolverine movie is Origin, which was the Paul Jenkins Kubert story.
Right.
The second one was the Frank Miller limited series, Chris
right.
Claremont, Frank Miller. And now this is Old Man Logan. Those are the three iconic Wolverine stories.
Right. I mean, the only other one you could do is like Enemy of the State, but that's it's the same thing.
Which would
thing.
Be cool. And the thing that made Enemy of the State great, and I love that story, is that he, in Enemy of the State, for listeners who haven't read it, is Hydra, which right there's your problem. Hydra turns Wolverine, brainwashes Wolverine and sends him against other superheroes. There's a great issue where he fights a Fantastic Four, and what makes that story so good is that Wolverine is a threat to the entire Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
He's just a threat to X-Men. It's not that interesting, but like, if you tell me he's a threat to the Avengers,
right?
Then
I
that's
mean, this
amazing.
Is a guy that...
But Fox is not going to make the deal that Sony made.
And I think that's the big mistake, is that we won't get... If Fox ever gets around to making a deal with the Marvel Studios, Hugh Jackman will come back to play Wolverine with Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man. That'll 100% happen if they make that deal.
Yeah.
Hugh Jackman's not going to let that pass up. That might be the only way to get him to come back to play Wolverine.
Well, it's like what Robert Downey Jr. is doing now. After Iron Man 3, he said he was done. But basically, they're like, well, what if you're not the star and you just have a lot of dialogue scenes and we completely CG your armor?
And you get paid a bajillion dollars.
Yeah, you get paid as much as you got paid for Iron Man 1 to be
right.
in Civil War for 20 minutes.
Yeah, and I think they'll go for that. So yeah, you know, like I said, Old Man Logan, it looks interesting. This is as close to what it could be from the comics, because the comic is crazy.
And this trailer does a great job of setting up the world. And
the
not,
music, the Johnny Cash song.
Yeah, Cash Hurt.
It's a great trailer.
The tone is just wonderful, and it's got this feel of like Unforgiven. A lot of people are saying it reminds them of The Last of Us, the video game.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
X-23 is in it.
Yep.
So X-23 is a clone of Wolverine. So I hated her for about 10 years.
And
now
she's the third clone of Wolverine.
Yeah, there were 22 clones which failed. And then the 22 clones were male. And then they tried one as female and that one took, which is why she's a little girl.
Yeah.
But she was created for the X-Men Evolution cartoon.
She was
and then
created
the guys
for a book called... NYX, actually.
No, that's before. She was created for the cartoon, and then the same guys were doing NYX, and they brought her over into the comics.
Oh.
So it was pretty close. And then, and when I first saw her in the comics, I think I dropped off Evolution. I've since seen it, and it's good. It's like Wolverine and the X-Men. It's like, all right, if you like X-Men, here's some X-Men.
Yeah.
It's not as fun as the 90s show. Like, there's something about that 90s show which isn't good.
It's crazy.
It's a lot of Canadian screaming.
Yeah.
That's my memory of that show. Gene, Scott, I'm the Hurricanes. It's just everybody.
Yeah.
I'm smaller than you. Ah! Professor X constantly getting hit with psychic blasts and going, yeah. Everyone is screaming in Canadian accents throughout the 90s. But there's something iconic about that show. In the way that Super Friends is iconic. It's like, it's the first time we've seen all these characters animated.
Yeah.
For your generation, it's the first time you meet those characters.
Right.
You know, my generation, X-Men was the comic book. And you came into comic books knowing Batman and Spider-Man and Captain America and Hulk, because those were the characters on cartoons. And when you got into comics, your friend who was already into comics was like, you need to read this.
Yeah.
And you're like, I don't know who these people are. And they're like, just read it. And then that becomes your favorite comic. So what that 90s cartoon did was just break that wide open to the point where in 2000 we got a movie. And
right.
Now we're talking about the ninth X-Men movie. But this movie does such a great job. I was watching it with my wife, and she can see his way in the future. And he says in it, the mutants are all gone. And in Old Man Logan, like, humanity is basically gone. It looks like in this movie, mutants... Like, there was a generation of mutants that's over.
Yeah.
Whether they were wiped out by Sentinels or, you know, they just died out. But it looks like he's the last one left. And then Professor X shows up. And my wife is like, why is Professor X alive if all the other ones are alive? And I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I want to know.
Yeah.
And Patrick Stewart looks terrible in this.
And he should.
I mean, he's a guy that's in great shape. We're not saying he looks bad. Like,
they've done him up to look terrible.
They've done him up to look really old and really frail.
And it's good, like I said, it's, you know, that's the hook of, like, okay, it's Old Man Logan. Old Man Logan's an interesting story in the comics because they have the whole Marvel Universe to play in. This is Fox.
There's a lot with Venom in it.
Right.
There's a lot with the Hulk in it.
Red Skull.
Yeah, we can't use those.
This is them doing Old Man Logan with the tools that they have. So bringing Patrick Stewart back for Professor X makes sense.
Yeah, it looks like the Reavers are the villains.
Yeah, I'm excited to see where it goes.
Which makes a ton of sense, because the Reavers were like these weird... They were not a good story. During the Mark Silvestri run, they were like... When the X-Men were living in Australia, and they had to fight these cyborg bikers, and that's the Reavers. And we do see, like, a gang, which look like they've come out of The Walking Dead, but
yeah.
They have cyborg parts. And it seems like we're going to this dystopian future, which I hate to say... Reminds me a little of Mad Max. Yeah.
Yep.
Those are the perfect characters to use. So this trailer just pulled me in. Like, when I heard about it, I was like, okay, Old Man Logan, that makes sense. And let's see. Like I said, half the X-Men movies have been good. Half of them have been bad. So both Days of Future Past and Apocalypse, I was like, oh, okay, well, let's see. This one, I'm like, this one got me excited about an X-Men movie, which... To be honest, I don't think I've been excited about an X-Men movie since Marvel started making their own movies.
Yeah, that's how I feel, is that I feel like X-Men did a great job of mainstreaming, between X-Men and Spider-Man, mainstreaming and creating a superhero genre to where it's stuck finally. You know, Batman tried it every couple years, you know, Blade and all these other things. Once they were making 3 X-Men movies and 3 Spider-Man movies, that kind of opened up the floodgates. Once Iron Man starts and they're making all these different trilogies and these different characters, this ongoing story, it's like X-Men and Spider-Man laid the foundation for how to make a superhero movie. When the Marvel movies came along, they figured out how to do it and do it really, really well. And it just seems like X-Men, the Spider-Man movie so far, we'll see, and the DC movies removed from Batman, still have a hard time figuring out how to make a good superhero movie. They know how to make a superhero movie.
Right.
But X-Men figured that out 15 years ago. We know how to make a superhero movie. Now, how do we make it good?
And how do we make it consistently good? Because,
right.
Like you said, X-Men, they make a good one, and every time they make a good X-Men movie, I go, we got it now. We figured it out. Because when they do a good one, it's different than the last one that was good.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, okay, we're going to follow this formula. And to be fair, that's what Marvel's done. Marvel has kind of made Iron Man every time, but they tweak it just a little bit here and there to fit this different character, to fit this director's tone,
or a
specific
genre,
to keep it a little fresh. But it's all kind of based on that template. They all have a similar look.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going, even Guardians of the Galaxy kind of looks like Avengers in
right.
just set design and lighting. Like, Marvel movies are always very bright. You know, they're all kind of in that mold, which is also why I think Warner Bros. Is like, okay, well, all of our DC movies will be very dark.
Right.
Even if it stars Superman.
Even if it doesn't need to be.
Yeah. But, so we are at a point where Marvel's starting to play it a little safe. But X-Men, it's every time I think they got it, then the next one just completely misses the mark.
Right.
And I feel like that's kind of going to be what it's going to be. I mean, that's why I'm worried about Deadpool 2. Deadpool 1 was great, but now they've lost their director.
Right.
And they don't, they're not consistent.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, it's a thing, and maybe we said this about Apocalypse before. It's not a bad movie. It would have been a great X-Men movie 8 years ago or 10 years ago.
It's,
now it's just kind of like, nah, that's pretty much what I figured Apocalypse would look like in a movie.
It's kind of long and boring.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. It's like 8 years ago, it would have been great.
And that's what's exciting about Logan was it doesn't look like anything.
Right.
Like, it doesn't look like the Wolverine. It doesn't even look like his last movie, much less the X-Men movies.
And that's what I'm kind of excited. And that's why I was saying about Iron Man. It's like, go nuts, go different, run in a different direction and see...
And
you
just
know,
little,
find whatever space, what other space those movies can occupy.
Well, and the little details about this that are intriguing, like why is Professor X still alive? There's a lot of shots of Logan with scars.
Yeah,
and that didn't really catch me until the second or third time. There's a shot of him putting on a shirt painfully, and you see scars on his back, and I'm like, oh, that must be right after a fight. And then the second time I watched it, I was like, no,
those are
healed over, which means his healing factor isn't working like it used to.
And that's what I think it is this is old man Logan, so yeah, his body's slowing down.
Yeah, just like mine.
Right, yeah. His healing factor wouldn't be able to keep pace. Like, metabolism kind of goes after your 30s. I think same thing. His healing factor, he's in his 60s now or 70s in this movie,
he's
maybe.
He's probably over 100. I mean,
right.
if Origins still counts, and even with the timeline jumble,
sure,
they didn't go back that far in time, we see Logan in the 1800s.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. If he's over 100 years old.
Yeah, he's probably 150 in this.
Right.
So I feel like we're jumping ahead like 40 years.
It's like, how is Patrick Stewart still alive?
That's got to be addressed in the plot somehow.
Yeah,
I'm
hopefully.
Really interested in it. But yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff on the horizon.
And we didn't even talk about the teaser for Guardians.
No, the teaser for Guardians is, again, really fun. It knows it's a hit movie that has casual fans. It knows that people are coming to see Guardians of the Galaxy who might not have cared about Civil War.
Yeah.
Who might not have cared about Ant-Man. Who maybe the last Marvel movie they saw was Guardians of the Galaxy 1.
Yeah.
And it hits that. It plays hooked on a feeling. You know, they show all the characters again. And you and I were looking at it right before the show. And I said, you know what? I thought there were going to be new characters on the team. They haven't shown any new characters on the team. And then you said you're positive that there are in this movie.
Yeah, Mantis is confirmed for this movie. Nathan Fillion's confirmed as Wonder Man, but as
but it
Simon
might be like
Williams.
A cameo, yeah.
Right. It might be like a flashback to Peter Quill as
poster,
like a kid.
Or, yeah.
Well, they filmed in a small town. They set up like a theater, and they had movie posters for all his movies, so they're playing it like Simon Williams, the actor, was one of the big action movies of like the 80s. And he'll play like Akron was like his big hit,
oh,
like
cool.
Schwarzenegger played
Conan, yeah.
Right. And
Akron is a very obscure Marvel character.
Yeah, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And so I think that's what they're playing it like. Whether or not they give him superpowers and turn him into like a purple energy guy, I would be all for. But it might be more of like, here's the Marvel Universe version of Simon Williams. He's not going to have superpowers. He's not going to be a scientist like he was in the comics. Like, he's going to be an actor like he was in the 80s.
Right.
You know, and I think that's cool.
Right. And we know Kurt Russell is playing Star-Lord's father, but they're not saying what his character's name is.
He's supposed to be Ego the Living Planet.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So and Jeff Goldblum's going to be in this?
Jeff Goldblum's
oh, wait,
in
no.
it?
He's going to be in Thor as the Collector.
Yeah, he's the Collector, but you're
or
right.
Or not the Collector,
that's
the Grandmaster.
Yeah, because
that's
Benicio del Toro is the Collector.
Right.
Yeah, but...
I mean, he might have a cameo in this.
But that's what's interesting about it is we're talking about three or four characters that we know are in this. You don't see any of them. And
yeah.
Basically, the whole point of this trailer is, hey, you know those five characters you love? They're all back.
Yep.
And this is a teaser trailer not made for comic fans. It is not made for superhero people. It's made for fans of
the
part
first
one.
Yeah.
Because this is how you do a teaser trailer for a sequel. Of like, hey, they got the whole cast back.
Right. And honestly,
like Expendables 2.
I saw this teaser 2 days ago or something, maybe. I don't know. I'm not that excited for this teaser. I'm really excited for the movie. I really like the first Guardians. I like that everyone's back for the second one. There wasn't anything in this teaser that I was like, oh my God.
No, we do see Groot again in kind of a different form.
Right.
And it's quick flashes. It does what a teaser trailer is supposed to do. Tell you the movie's coming.
Yeah.
Like, hey, remember that movie you like?
Another one on the way.
Like, and we don't need to know plot. We don't need to know new characters.
Yeah.
We don't need to know twists. And that's what, you know, when we get closer to next summer in the spring, we'll get another trailer that you won't want to watch.
Well, I'll watch the first trailer.
That'll tell us part of the plot.
But it's like, I think with Guardians specifically, that's one of those movies that I think people forget how big that movie was when it came out.
It was the movie of the summer.
Yeah, because there were so many, it was so long ago, there were so many movies since then that did the huge thing of the Star Wars and Deadpool and all these other movies came out that people kind of forgot about Guardians, I think.
And that's exactly why you were saying earlier in the show complaining about we don't need any more trailers. That's why we do.
No.
Because there's so many movies, every 3 months you kind of got to remind people, hey, we're doing another one of these too.
Right. But I think it's like when that movie comes out, that'll be, I think the second Guardians will be closer to like Avengers money. I think they're going to make a buttload of money on it.
If it's good, and it looks like it will be. I mean, James Gunn has stayed, which we can't say about Tim Miller and Deadpool.
Right.
Although, traditionally, Marvel directors have had a harder time making that second film than they have making the first one. We had Jon Favreau making Iron Man 2. We had Joss Whedon making Age of Ultron.
Yeah, I think the difference with Guardians is it's a lot more self-contained. You'll get three Guardians movies before they have to worry about integrating the Guardians with the Avengers.
I disagree because after Guardians of the Galaxy 2 is going to be Infinity War. Which we know is Thanos.
Okay.
Thanos is in Guardians
then
of the Galaxy.
Then you get two then.
But what if this two spends half its time setting up the Infinity War, which they've done.
Yeah. I honestly just think with James Gunn kind of in the driver's seat of this movie, I think this is still going to be a pretty big, there'll be a lot of hints, I think, for Thanos. We'll have the best next closest look at him, aside from maybe what happens in Doctor Strange. But I think this will be predominantly a Guardians movie that will lead directly into Infinity.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. We are over an hour. So instead of doing Greatest Thing in the World this week, out of the trailers that you've seen, what are you most excited for?
Honestly, probably Star Wars. I think Old Man Logan looks great, but I think the Star Wars is the one where it looks the most exciting. See, like, Logan looks good, but it looks a lot like, oh, this is the world. It's terrible. It's a dystopian future. Star Wars is like, there's a lot of crazy action. There's a lot of big fight scenes. There's Vader looming in the background. There's these characters on this desperate mission. It seems like the stakes are so much higher. Old Man Logan is like, well, it's the last one. What are the stakes? Maybe Old Man Logan will die.
See, I completely flip that because I think Rogue One looks great, but we're playing in a similar sandbox. You know, we're getting very close to the original movie. We're also taking the lead from Force Awakens. So I think they've learned to walk that line between nostalgia and doing something new. And I feel like Rogue One is going to be as good as Force Awakens. So I kind of feel like I know what to expect.
Yeah.
Logan doesn't look like any superhero movie I have ever seen in my life. It looks like some of the really dark Westerns that I love. I keep thinking of Unforgiven, which is one of my favorite movies. Like, it looks like he's lost everything. It doesn't look dark. It looks grim.
Yeah.
And it set up so many mysteries in my head.
Right.
It left me with so many questions that I need to answer. Like we've said, why is Professor X still alive? How come Logan's healing factor isn't working? You know, where
happened to the world?
What happened to all the mutants? Where does X-23 come from if there's no society that can create a cloning lab?
Yeah.
And it looks like they're just on the run. Every action sequence in this looks like he's completely outgunned. Like, there's a couple of shots of a car chase where it just looks like they're running.
Yeah.
They're not chasing somebody.
Right.
They look like the two of them are trying so hard to desperately stay alive that I have never seen. If it lives up to this trailer, it's going to be something really unique.
Yeah, that's
with a character I love. So I'm more excited for that one. Who would love it?
Old Man Brown. He loves Westerns, and he loves Wolverine. That's like his favorite. He fucking loves
Perfect.
It.
He'll be Wolverine's age by the time.
Right? He's grizzled.
Well, you can follow me at Not In My Book on Twitter. That is the Caffeinated Comics Twitter feed. You can tell us what trailer you're most excited about. Maybe it's just Guardians of the Galaxy. Maybe
that teaser really did it for you.
Maybe you just need more 70s rock.
Yep.
You know, maybe you think Deadpool 2 is going to be better because Ryan Reynolds has full control. Tell us. Let us know. Send me a direct message. I almost always reply because I'm just so happy to get any kind of attention. You can also go to our Facebook page where we post everything. All the trailers have been up there. Our memorial to Steve Dillon up there. You can find basically everything that's going on with the show on our Facebook page. And you can listen to us on iTunes or Stitcher. I think we might even be on Blueberry. I feel like I submitted, but I haven't even heard of it. I think we're out there. I think we're searchable. We've been doing this for 4 years. If you put in Caffeinated Comics, you
should be able to find us.
Yeah, I think we are now number one on Google. There was a coffee shop in San Francisco that sold comics.
Right.
That was open for about a year and still got better Google rankings than us until about 6 months
ago. Even though we've been doing this longer than they were.
So that is a life goal attained. And if you want to go into a store, buy yourself a trade of Old Man Logan soon, because I asked for it and you were out of stock.
Yeah.
Or,
we've got the reorder is in the wind. It's coming.
Oh, good. Or you're into Rogue One and you want to read Vader Down, which
I highly recommend Vader Down.
I got to read it. I'm caught up. You can visit Steven at Chimera's Comics.
19 South LaGrange Road in LaGrange, Illinois.
Caffeinated Comics is a Not In My Book production.
Thank